Karina, this is how we, this is how our family is here at WCPT. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much. Karina Slaughter, I say it with a, I don't know if I'm supposed to do it in a Spanish accent. Okay. Karina Slaughter is a senior VP of education for Chicago Commons, and I want to talk about their organization, but I want to know about you first. First of all, welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
For having me. Absolutely. Where'd you grow up, my friend?
So I grew up in Hazelcrest, Illinois.
Okay. Yep. And what's the high school over by there in Hazelcrest?
I went to Humber Christian Academy.
All right.
It's a private school.
Did you play any sports, or what was your thing in high school?
Yeah, so actually I played basketball, and I sang on the praise and worship team.
Oh, wonderful. The praise and worship team?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was just telling a guest yesterday, a woman who's been doing a lot of work on the Negro baseball leagues, mm-hmm. she said she's not a baseball player. She's a basketball player. What was your, because I was terrible. I was absolutely terrible. I told the story yesterday. My coach said, whenever you get the ball, Patty, just pass or shoot. For the love of God, whatever you do, please don't dribble. So you know how I was. What position did you play?
So I played a small forward and a power forward.
Oh,
so
nice.
So I was a really small school.
Okay.
And so I'm really like more of a runner, but I'm also athletic, and so I was really into sports. And so it was, my options were volleyball or basketball, and I chose basketball, and that's just kind of, so definitely more of a defensive player, but not really so great at shooting.
I also maybe fouled out a lot of games. That was a little aggressive. What you lack in talent, you make up for with aggression.
That's true.
There you go.
Very true.
And a lot of Bengay. I used to wear a lot of Bengay to make the other girls tear up because I smelled so bad. It's a good
just
trick.
Stay away from
and you're also slippery.
That's strategic right there.
Thanks. So after high school, what did you do next?
And so I went to college to get my bachelor's at Hampton University. And so I have a bachelor's in marketing.
Nice.
And then I worked for corporate America for about 5 years and just decided, like, it wasn't something I was passionate about, and it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I heard someone say that your ideal job should be something that you could get paid for, but you would do for free. And I remembered, like, working as a summer camp counselor back when I was in high school, and the goal was to save money to get a car.
Yes.
And
same.
I had 6 and 7 year olds, and it was just a blast. And so I just really, you know, I was like, I want to work with children, but I need to go back, and I would love to, you know, like kind of own my own child care center or just even like run child care centers, but I need to know like how to do it. And so I ended up applying for Erickson Institute and getting my master's degree in child development with administration specialization, and just started as an infant teacher. I was selling shoes to try to supplement the income and literally just worked my way up.
I love this story so much because so often when we go to college and we, you know, we study what we're going to study, and you go in, whether it's corporate America, or, you know, go into law, whatever it is that you go into, people think that, well, I've invested all this time and this education into this. This is just what I am now. And you take a step back and you're like, this isn't fulfilling for me. And what is fulfilling is helping other people and working with other people. That's wonderful. I really love that. How did your family feel when you're like, you know what? I'm not that thing where I make money.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's always nerves around
it.
They want to make sure that you're okay and that you're thinking clearly. And, you know, I've always been a bit of a rebel in terms of just following my gut and, you know, just following my heart. And I'm like, if I'm going to spend 9 to 10 hours plus a day doing a job, then I need to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was more about just betting on myself and believing that I could do it, and kind of putting all the other things to the side and going for it. And so now they're super proud of me, right? But I think for a while they were extra nervous.
Sure.
Like, what are you doing? So
that's fantastic. And are they in Hazelcrest?
Yeah.
Excellent.
My mom, actually, she lives in Tinley Park.
Yeah. How was Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Thanksgiving's good.
Yeah.
It's good. We did a little bit of house hopping. My mother-in-law, she lives close to my mother, so we kind of go from house to house.
Oh, boy. So that can be fun. It's also, it can be stressful.
Yeah. Okay. In our cases, it's kind of, we got the best of both dynamics, because we have a family that kind of ends things early, and then a family that, you know, is a little later. So by the time we get there, the party's still going.
Nice. Festive. It's just, I like Thanksgiving personally more than the rush into Christmas or the whatever holidays.
Okay.
I like Thanksgiving. It's just, it is what it is. You get there, you eat, you watch movies, you play games, whatever. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So tell us about the work that you do with Common Good.
All right.
Awesome. Chicago Commons. Sorry.
So at Chicago Commons, we have, we're a social services agency, a nonprofit, and essentially we have a high quality early education program, senior services, and we do family centered support and adult education. We've been around for over 130 years. And so I oversee our early education division, and we are in 18 different neighborhoods throughout Chicagoland. We service about 1750, so 1,750 children annually. But Chicago Commons as a whole, we service about 3,500 individuals.
Wow.
So adult day services, home visiting programs. It really is a tremendous organization that, you know, helps to break systemic barriers and just help be a buffer to some of the risk factors that are embedded in communities that are underinvested. And so we're really there to partner with families, to partner with children in achieving like success academically, but also economically and overall like health and well-being.
That's wonderful. And how long have you been with Chicago Commons?
Almost 5 years.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And were they sort of doing a little bit of searching for someone like you? I mean, did you follow a lead? Because you were working with kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was actually working with another nonprofit organization, and there were actually someone I used to work with who I used to supervise wanted me to be their new supervisor.
What? Wow. Okay. I mean, there's so many layers of wonderfulness here. I'm so glad I asked that question. Because it'd just be like, and now you work here, but sometimes I just want to know how that happened. Mm-hmm. That's one of my, I mean, to say I want you to also be my boss somewhere else is like, that's a really big letter of recommendation right there.
Yeah.
And I think more people who are hired as bosses should get those letters. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You should go and ask like people who worked, you know, in roles that were supervised by someone. So how were they as a boss? Everyone should do that. Well, congratulations on being a great boss.
Thank you.
That's when you know you're good at your job.
Yeah. That's tremendous.
Yeah.
So you mentioned throughout the Chicagoland area, 3,500 people are served. Is it kids or all the
there
clients?
So we start as young as, well, we have prenatal moms. Our center-based programs primarily service children 6 weeks to 5 years of age. We have school age programming, so we service these kiddos that are in school. And we have senior services, so we have an adult day service program,
right.
And we do home visiting. So we literally start from your youngest, you know, being to, you know, your older being. And so that is, you know, our model to help families thrive across generations. So when you enroll in our program for your children, we're not only are asking about your educational goals for your child, but also what are your dreams as a parent? And I think that that's important because a lot of times as a parent, you lose sight of what your goals and dreams are, because you want everything for your kiddos. And here at Commons, we're letting you know that you can have it all. You can have, you know, the dreams for your children, but also we're here to support the dreams that you have for yourself.
What magical organization have I just come across?
I know, right?
No, and I say that, and I know that it's a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of strategy. It's long hours. It's people putting in the time and understanding to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
Right? So, and
we're definitely there to, I mean, we're embracing where families are and meeting them exactly where they are. And so whether that's budgeting, whether that's you want to look for another job, you want to go back to school. I know we have success stories that are out on social media now with a Yvette who was a grandparent who enrolled her grandchildren in our program and then went through our pathways program and then became an assistant teacher. And so not only did she have a safe place for her grandchildren to go, but she also was able to meet her goals. And so that's what we do.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
And is it a collaboration with like philanthropic organizations? Is it community based as far as like, you know, do you have state funding, funding from donations? I know helps.
Yes.
As well. How can we help? And where does a lot of this funding come from?
Is it just Giving Tuesday?
Yeah. So for Giving Tuesday, any donation helps, no matter how big, how small, like we can put it to good use. We do have some state funding and federal funding, but our resources are limited. And a lot of the times the the donations that we get from corporations or just, you know, private donors, it allows us to be able to do some of the aspirational things that we want to do in supporting our children and families. And so, yeah.
That's fantastic. When we talk about Giving Tuesday, folks, know that there are different ways to donate. So where can folks go to make that donation?
Yes. So individuals should go to chicagocommons.org.
I'm going to the website right now. Do you
take
Venmo or Zelle? What do you take?
Yes.
You take Venmo? Excellent. Venmo's like my walking money.
We go to the Facebook page. We have Instagram and also our LinkedIn page. Those are ways that you can find us at Chicago Commons.
I'm going to do that right now. I love it so much. People think of organizations like yours and they don't understand the ripple effect it has through the community. The people that you serve also serves the people on that block.
Yes.
Right? When you are able to fortify one family, one individual, it spreads to, whether they're at the grocery store or at church. I mean, if someone's uplifted, it uplifts other people. Yes. I don't think people understand that.
Yes. Their stories are truly powerful, and they're changing the narrative of where not only, you know, their children go, but where they go. And then they go and tell others in the community, and they get to experience, you know, the same opportunities. And so it really is impactful in terms of changing the trajectory of what happens in the communities that we serve and empowering individuals to succeed at their rate and at their own pace. And so we're just a vessel working parallel with individuals, you know, and helping them tap into their goals.
In your 5 years, because you mentioned that, we see communities that are disinvested in, right? Mm-hmm. That we see where there are gaps. What have you seen that has been successful in the 5 years to sort of, you know, shore that up or fill those gaps?
I think just making sure that we are leveling the playing field and closing the achievement gap and providing equal opportunity within underinvested communities.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we're changing the narrative around what people desire in underinvested communities, because they desire the same things that, you know, individuals that exist in maybe like more affluent neighborhoods want. And sometimes that's a common misconception that maybe people don't. And so, you know, the investments that we put in really help support like structures, right? And set the foundation for future success.
I love that. I love all that. Because I don't know if you saw any of the committee hearings on gun violence. There was a professor who said that because they were using Chicago as the example of like, why is Chicago an open shooting range? And she was like, well, actually, if we put our resources into communities, if we green up empty lots, if we have after school programs, we find that those situations are diminished. And it's like, I'm so tired of being the punching bag when there are organizations doing the heavy lifting and you know, without a lot of the support that's necessary for this.
Right. If you have economic opportunities for individual, they don't choose to go to crime and things of that sort.
Correct.
Right. If there's when businesses close down in various communities, the economic opportunity decreases. Mm-hmm. So I have a question. So I was looking at your website. Are you guys getting involved? Clearly we have a lot of refugees that are entering the Chicago area lately. Mm-hmm. Is your programming focusing towards any of those folks right now?
So we do support the migrant families that are coming in. We have enrolled a number of students.
Oh, cool.
That,
okay.
You know, are coming from, you know, making transitions. And that's something that Chicago Commons has always just embedded in how we got started.
Awesome.
Right? Okay. That's one of the first settlement houses for
wow.
families. And so it is true to our core and not something that we are hopping on the bandwagon with.
Right.
But it is something that is essential to who we are in supporting all families.
That's important because it is a lot of the nonprofits that are picking up. And I'm not going to get too sucked into the politics of all this, but it is hard work. I mean, there are groups that are available 24/7 for whether it's arrivals of people coming in from from a bus from. Like I said, I'm not going to get into the politics of it. But what can people do to volunteer as well? What kind of opportunities are there, or for other ways to get involved?
So we love volunteers. Again, ChicagoCommons.org will give you all the information you need, or our Facebook page, Instagram. I mean, volunteers are really, they help us, you know, make the dream happen, right? Like whether they're handing out backpacks to our kiddos or helping to, you know, wrap gifts or give them to our kiddos for the holidays. I mean, volunteers really foster a sense of community in our work, and they are welcome at any time. So
I'm trying to figure out how to donate right now. I'm just sorry. That's why I'm looking at it.
No, it's okay.
I have it up over here too.
No, it's like, why am I? I should be talking to my guests. I'm like, how can I give you money? I want to help you.
Take my money
because you're helping so many people. Yeah. I mean, this is what is it? You mentioned that Chicago Commons started as a settlement. Do you know a little bit about? Can you tell us a little about that origin story? Because I think of Chicago, there's so many different organizations that started in communities where they saw the need, whether it was, you know, Hull House and places like that.
Yeah.
I know Kids Above All was originally ChildServe. So groups like that. Do you know a little bit about, like, what was the genesis for this? That's all right. You know, I'm going to take a look. I love all these, but the point being that, like, I just learned the history of, like, United Way. Like, in Colorado, these community leaders were like, you know what? We should band together and help each other out. I just love those origin stories. I didn't mean to put you on the spot on that.
No, it's okay. I do know, like, the origin in terms of, you know, one of the first settlement houses and then one of the first, you know, kindergartens that, you know, were on the near north side of Chicago. And then, and also, you know, our Reggio Emilia philosophy and how, you know, Chicago Commons was one of the main agencies to really embrace that Reggio Emilia approach. And
I'm not familiar with the Reggio Emilia.
Yeah, so the Reggio Emilia approach is definitely our marketing niche, and it really is a philosophy that follows the child's directive and the image of the child as being capable and, you know, being a co-creator of their own world. And we use the environment as the third teacher. And so that when we, you know, when we welcome our families, you know, and we have studios, art studios within our programs. And so children are able to explore with clay and with, you know, traditional tools like a regular hammer and nails and things of that nature. And so I know that that is something that is, you know, central to how rich our environments are and what sets us apart from some of the other, you know, child care providers in the area.
How does somebody apply for services? Like, is there a certain threshold they have to meet financially, or how do they get involved that way?
So the best way to get involved for any of our program is to go to the website, and, you know, we will respond to all inquiries. There are some income-based, you know, like restrictions for some of our programs, but not all of them. And so that's the best way we can lead and guide based on, you know, what the individual needs are for the family.
And you mentioned, you know, we've talked a little bit about senior services.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about a day program because there's so much loneliness that's prevalent in our aging community. And we are all getting older. I want to learn. I'm heading in.
Speak for yourself, Pam.
I have more behind me than I had ahead of me, unless something changes in the next. I mean, I'm 52. I'm just saying. But I mean, not that I can't live to be 104, but it's going to be a long haul. But I mean, so tell us a little bit about the day programs, because that's so valuable and so needed in our communities.
So our adult day services program is located in, like, the Bronzeville High Park area on 50th Street. And so, you know, they will go and pick up seniors and bring them to the facility, and they're able to enjoy, you know, playing games, connecting with other individuals, you know, learning about health. They're very rich activities that are available for the seniors to participate in throughout the day. So it's a very, very solid program for older adults.
I'm in love with Chicago Commons. Everyone should go to Chicago Commons. It's Giving Tuesday, and we encourage you to if it's not financial, as Karina said, no donation is too small. Also, volunteering is a great thing. Mm-hmm. To stay connected with people as well.
Yes.
You know? And not just at the holiday season, folks.
Yeah, right.
I didn't mean to yell at you guys. That was,
But I think it's especially in I always say post-COVID world, but COVID is still a thing. Mm-hmm. Especially seniors, they've been extremely isolated. So it's critical to have those types of programs that just give you that stimulation or social interaction.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just sit at home for hope of not getting sick, but like you need to be able to actually get back out and interact with folks, and it's not just So I think that's awesome.
I'm on the website now and I'm looking, and for adult day services, it's also offers nutritious meals. So that's amazing.
Yep. That had to be a lot of work too during the pandemic. Yes. Did you guys, have you incorporated some of the things that you learned? Because so many organizations like yours have incorporated, you know, whether it's just having a Zoom meeting, cuts down on like travel time, right?
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of changes that we had to make, and I think a lot of support that we had to provide around individuals who maybe were afraid to return to services. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the messaging around the pandemic really made individuals nervous to come out and to connect, and so we really had to, you know, do some shifting in our marketing and in our approach to get individuals comfortable coming back to our services. And then let's not forget, we also have home visiting. And so, you know, we'll go to the homes of our seniors and sit with them and, you know, do like duties and, you know, just are that buddy for them, for those who are, you know, not in our adult day services.
Right. Do you partner with, because talking about like partnering with other philanthropic organizations, like with like the Center on Halsted, they have their SAGE program for LGBT seniors and things of that sort. I don't know where their reach is compared to where your guys' territory overlaps or not, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we have a direct partnership.
Okay, with it's not like your area. But
Okay. But I think, you know, what we do is we're looking to, you know, secure partnerships in like all of the communities that we serve. And so we are, you know, definitely connected to, you know, the local businesses that, you know, are around and making sure that, you know, we are plugged into services that
outstanding.
They can support.
I'm excited for this collaboration because I know you have a gala coming up in May, and I want to check in with you way before then.
I love a good gala.
Yeah. 130 years.
Congratulations. Yeah. It's a big 130 coming up on May 10th. We've been hanging out with Karina Slaughter. Correct? I didn't even look. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like guessing at names, and that's terrible.
No, you got it.
I'm very excited, and I could have just like slid past it and not even acknowledged it. I wasn't sure. Karina Slaughter, I'm so, so grateful to know you and to meet you and to learn more about Chicago Commons. Go to ChicagoCommons.org and support them. Find out how you can get involved. And I look forward to seeing you very soon.
Thank you. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Apollo Tini, Megan Kelly, and Dan Schaefer. More after this on WCPT.